Hey, you know the Sorting Hat from Harry Potter? Well, now that concept is a whole movie series. Let's figure out what went wrong with Divergent, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America. The number one movie in America. The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
It is the number one movie in America, the podcast where we look at old number one movies at random and try to figure out what the hell happened. I'm joined by Aaron Kleiber, Robin Hitchcock, and Camila Adams. We're like a Sharky's machine of movie opinions. That's what I'll try to do.
That's what we should
be. I'll try
be
to
now.
Tie it back to the previous
the last
movie.
Right. Yeah. That's a good
That's
idea.
That's what they do on this hat Oscar.
So this one would probably be like a representative from each faction.
Yeah.
Man, are these factions dumb. All right, we're gonna get to it. Like, I was trying to be like, okay, they're like the Gryffindors. Like, I was trying to, like, relate it to something I like. And even then, it's like, yeah, but why would you? Okay, hold on.
Yeah, no, it's like.
We need to get the plot out there before we get too wild. Yeah. Let's play that game.
Let's play the plot game. This is called What Was the Point Again? Our segment where we recap the plot of the movie so you know what we're complaining about later. This week's contestant on What Was the Point Again, whose job is to recap the plot of this, like, 145-minute movie in 60 seconds.
2 hours.
Is Aaron
Kleiber.
13
minutes. 19 minutes. 2 hours and 19 minutes.
And go.
Aaron watched it for you. So Divergent is based on a book that is in a dystopian future of Chicago, where all of the people are under rule by Kate Winslet, and everyone is broken into different factions when they turn of age, it seems. And the factions are based on virtues. And if you don't fit one of those virtues, you're homeless, pretty much. And so, what's her name? Woodley.
Mm-hmm.
What's her real name?
Tess Beatrice?
Shia Woodley?
Shailene.
Shailene.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot not say Shailene. Okay, I only got 60 seconds. Robin's like timing me.
Yeah,
so,
about 20 seconds left.
But this Beatrice, she does not belong in any of the factions, and that means you are Divergent. So basically, she goes through this Starship Troopers boot camp a la Disney show and decides that she doesn't belong and then has to overthrow everything with the help of generic James Franco and... And also her mom's also a secret agent who played Ashley Judd, and we got to see if we can defeat Kate Winslet.
Okay, that was a
serum.
that was a miss, but good try. You're getting used.
What
to
are you talking about?
That was about 115.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
You're doing the most.
I wanted so much. Well, when I used to do Watch It For You, I would try to improvise a movie in 15 minutes, most of the takes were 12 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I would do a movie in 5 minutes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And really, my whole rod would be 12 minutes long.
Right. It would just be you going, and then, what's her name? Shailene?
Which is why Dustin Shailene does not shoot and edit it any longer. But thank you for those years of fun.
We all have thoughts, but let's go to the numbers before we get into that. Divergent released March 21st, 2014, the eighth number one movie of 2014. It won the weekend with $54.6 million. Which is pretty good, and nothing was even close. The second place finisher was Muppets Most Wanted.
Oh.
Also debuted that week. It took in $17 million. Other new releases included God's Not Dead came out that week.
What is that?
That's a movie about...
Oh, like, is it like a Heaven Is For Real you take a bus of church people to see it?
Like God friended me on Instagram?
No, it's a guy...
It is a church bus movie, is it?
Yeah. It's a church. A nice Christian boy goes to college, and his professor assigns him an essay titled God Is Dead, and he refuses to write it. Movie. And they made a sequel.
That's happened to me in real life.
Is it called God Is Still Not Dead?
I think it was God's Not Dead too.
I was one of those my senior year I was a born again youth group Christian kid, mm-hmm. and then my AP English teacher made me do my book report on Origin of the Theses, and I was like, touche.
God's Not Dead was fourth that weekend. $9.2 million worth of church buses. Perhaps the exact opposite film of God's Not Dead, Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac Volume 1.
Sweet Fancy Moses, what is that?
I saw that. That was a trip.
Yeah, that's interesting. Five?
No. I'm just going through the other new releases.
I was like, wait, what? Who are these people seeing? 158,000
on 25 screens. It was in the teens.
Somewhere. Okay.
Divergent did not repeat at number one the following week. Darren Aronofsky's Noah took the top spot.
Another church bus
movie. I hope we get that one.
I liked that.
I never saw it. It's the only bad Aronofsky I haven't seen.
It was pretty. I mean, there was that crazy part with the rock monsters at the beginning, but mm-hmm. when they got on the boat, it was
not
okay.
bad.
Divergent came in second the next weekend with $25.6 million. It remained in the top 10 for 8 weeks, which is pretty good in this day and age.
Wow,
children! There's so many children in this world.
Yes. Total box office for Divergent $150.9 million. It was the 19th highest grossing film of the year. American Sniper was the top grossing film of 2014.
Woof!
Another church bus movie?
Yes, with Mark Wahlberg. Was that Mark Wahlberg?
Bradley Cooper. Then he wants you to forget now. Well,
it wasn't a bad movie.
That was a bad movie. That plastic baby.
Where the plastic baby?
Okay, everyone, we know the plastic baby. It was not bad.
And also, so much of the movie is him squinting and feeling bad.
He's aiming, and he's sad all the time, so he should be squinting.
He's like, oh, I hate how skilled I am.
Or super sad, his eyes should have problems.
Yeah, it was the Hurt Locker for normal people. That's what American Sniper was.
Yeah, it was the moderate Hurt Locker.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Here's the only interesting thing about Divergent. So let's talk about this before we complain about it. The Divergent series was never completed. So this is the only series I can name that got up to, they had one movie to go, and they said, not a hell with it.
they went three, right?
They did
Chronicles
three of
Narnia.
Well, the Chronicles of Narnia didn't do all of them but the last one.
Okay.
This did all of them but the last one. The follow-up movie was Insurgent. It slipped a little bit, but that was still a number one. That was still a hit. The third one, Allegiant, was a bomb. Only made $66 million on a $142 million budget.
Whoa.
Damn.
It never went to number one. It opened in second behind the third weekend of Zootopia.
Well, that was a pretty badass movie.
Well, yeah. Zootopia
is pretty good.
I mean,
And it ended on a cliffhanger. I forget what happened.
It's that situation where they wanted more money, so they broke the last book two movies.
Right. Like Harry Potter or Twilight, they split it up.
They probably lost generic James Franco, too. Did he give his life up in the third one?
So the big thing was it was such a financial loss that the studio was like, no, we're not. And so then the people, whoever owns the rights to this, were like, okay, it's a TV movie now because we're going to make the TV movie and then spin off a spin-off franchise. And Shailene Woodley was like, no. I'm not,
know who I am?
I'm not doing it.
I've been in four movies.
She's
three of them yours.
I was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yes. I beg your pardon.
So she refused to do it, and they just said, yeah, we're never finishing this series.
Oh,
it is a series.
It ended on a cliffhanger.
on a cliffhanger with half a book to go.
It's
and they
like
just
Models, Inc. all over again. Like, I don't know if anybody...
I watched Models, Inc.
No. Thank you. It was an Aaron Spelling show for like maybe a season.
And then it
ended on a cliffhanger. To this day, I am still upset about not knowing what happened.
Wow.
That would have gone with the Twin Peaks reference there, but...
Yeah, yeah.
So Divergent is going to get finished 20 years from now, and just raise further questions.
Hopefully Models, Inc. will get finished around now. It'll be, 19 episodes. People will call it a movie. It'll be a whole thing. Anyway.
Well, with this generation, what they're going to do is they'll do what they did to us and promise all those movies of all the childhood things we have, and then they waited till we were in our 30s and had money.
Right.
So they'll just wait for these 14-year-olds to have money in their 30s.
Exactly.
And then go see Divergent.
I think
New Kids on the Block going on tour again.
Boom.
That's way more interesting than any part of Divergent.
Oh, most definitely. I'm going this summer. I don't know.
Did you see the 90s jams where it was like.
That has a crazy lineup. Did you see the lineup?
90s jams?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like every hip hop one hit wonder in the 90s, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Let's go to some other
good stuff.
Let's do a podcast about hip hop of the 90s.
Yes.
Let's just bail on this
because
of Divergent.
I think that's our Grown Dad Business episode, I think, next week, maybe.
The point, here's what I think happened. When Divergent came out, there was this intense hunger for next Hunger Games.
Right.
Everyone was looking for the big hit thing, and anything that was a little similar mm-hmm. could go to number one and make money. Look at this year where multiple things that tried to be that completely failed.
Right.
Like Mortal Engines completely flopped. There was that one with the kids, and they were running. You know what I'm talking about.
Kin or something, or Deadly Darkest Minds.
Deadliest Minds flopped. Kin flopped. There's no interest in these anymore.
No.
So by the time they got around to finishing the series, people were done with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're
right. I guess also with this, the budget for Divergent was $40 million, but then they doubled it after the success.
Wait, the first movie's budget was $40 million.
But then Lionsgate was like, hey, look how great Hunger Games is doing.
I didn't look that up when I was watching it, and that makes a ton of sense.
But it explains why the movie looks so cheap, you mean?
But they doubled it to $80 million is what I'm saying.
Oh, they actually had $80 million to make this ugly movie?
Yes.
Wow.
So it started off with 40, and then they were like, oh, shit, Hunger Games is killing it. So let's give them some more money. Let's double that shit.
Yeah, Kate Winslet on board.
Yeah, hurry up. We have to make a CGI ship.
I was about to come in and like
squandered it.
Like defend the career of Shailene Woodley, and then I looked at her filmography and I decided I don't need to do that.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't.
She's great in The Descendants. Have I said that already?
I really like her. She's good in
young in that.
She's fantastic and Spectacular Now.
That happens sometimes.
And then I looked since then, like, I mean, I didn't like any of the Divergent movies. The Fault in Our Stars is fine, but like you didn't need to act through that. Like, it's just a tearjerker.
Like, yeah,
just
I don't show remember up. If I saw that or not.
Also,
like, I know what it's about.
Her
but I don't...
lover in that movie plays her brother in this. It's very weird.
It's very awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Baby Driver.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's who that kid is. Aw.
Yeah.
Aw, bless his little
He's
heart.
A sweet boy.
And He's a good
Miles,
nice boy.
Miles Teller being the Jackass. Being the Disney Channel bully. Sweet
yes.
Lord.
Oh, my God.
And little sweet baby Zoe Kravitz, she was good.
She was so good.
I just want to say that my favorite thing about this movie is that my boyfriend Tony Goldwyn was in it. That's, I mean, for like...
The bad guy from Ghost.
or President Fitzgerald Grant.
I was mad that my boyfriend Mekhi Phifer was underutilized.
Right?
I was like, oh, Mekhi Phifer's in this?
I
was like, oh, there's something happening.
First off, it took forever for them to like actually show a real...
Okay.
Like, in the distance.
Same.
I was like,
I saw his name
Phifer?
In the credits. And I was so excited, and then it was like towards the end of the movie. I was like, "Did Mekhi ever happen?"
After towards the end of the movie, I was like, "Oh, okay, Mekhi just got paid for walking around with a gun,
right.
gritting on people.
Right,
that's
right.
all Basically. He did."
Really
was he
else.
In the other one? Was he in the other?
Was he in the second one?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he just stood on a catwalk, just mean mugging kids.
Right.
That's all he did. And I was like, that's great. He probably got $200,000 for this. This is great.
It's directed by who the fuck is Neil Berger? And the weirdest
Neil,
thing.
Neil, his mama loves him, Berger.
There is some exciting
Neil Berger
kismet
news?
Happening with Neil Berger. So listen up.
Okay? Yeah, I was stunned to find Neil Berger, his big comeback is The Upside out this week. And
the number one movie in America
as we're recording this, the number one movie in America. This guy has done, like, he did The Illusionist, which is remembered as that
not
movie
the
that's
prestige.
Not The Prestige.
Right, yeah,
but
exactly.
still good
still
to watch.
Fairly, yeah, still, yeah, still good film.
Yeah.
And just so we know, Mekhi Phifer was in the other two.
Okay. Oh.
Okay, thank you. That's important information.
Daddy got to pay bills.
Right?
Limitless
was
Bradley Cooper.
Not
that was
terrible.
That was
I
fine.
Liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked that movie, but I'm not fully paying attention to it, which I think is the right way to watch that movie.
Oh, yeah. You
don't think too hard about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's too much. Just look how pretty. Look and fall lovingly into Bradley Cooper's Baby Blues.
Yes.
That's what you do.
That's how I watch it.
And then they didn't bring him back for the other Divergent movies. This is the only one he directed.
Well, yeah.
Because
you don't want to get sucked into a trilogy.
Maybe that was his planning. It was like, yeah.
Also, I mean, there's not many people that do that anymore. I mean, you're only looking really at like Marvel, who still uses some of the same people. Yeah, and even then,
they'll do two or something.
Yeah,
no,
right.
But I'll say for Neil Berger, and I didn't like The Upside, which we'll get into in our segment, You Can't Handle the Truth. This is, let me blow your mind. This is the good one of these
sweet,
movies.
Sweet, fancy movie.
No.
Dude, it gets worse.
Are you
worse?
Kidding me?
That's
yeah.
what
are
I said.
Are you fucking kidding me? This movie, I was like the whole time I'm chanting, wrap it up, wrap it up. Like this shit went on forever and nothing happened.
The thing that was so horrible to me about this movie is that the mess.
Well, now, this is when we just go in a circle now and testify against this son of a bitch on the stand.
About 90 minutes of this insanely long movie is just straight up abuse.
Yes.
Like it's just these dauntless people, the brave ones, the Gryffindors.
The cool kids.
While we're talking about dauntless, I'm really happy that they didn't run around like they were in West Side Story the whole film. And also, where did that joy go?
That was Rush Week. That's what that was.
Yeah, it was like they were like high-fiving and clicking their heels.
Everything was so great. Yeah, like, it was so
like
cool.
a
yeah,
90s
welcome.
Music video.
That's what it's like God. When you're 15. When you turn 16, they start abusing yeah. you.
And then they get into another building. They're like, all right, for real.
Like, seriously.
Stop being so happy.
Nobody loves
this
you.
This is not a fucking Mentos commercial. Face.
I have written on my sheet, hey, Dauntless, stop running and climbing
Me
shit.
Too. I have that in there. I'm like, I couldn't be Dauntless. Why are they running everywhere and climbing too much shit? Like,
high five and climbing street side.
Like, guys, I'm sure there's a stop at the end of this line.
Wait, like, can't they make the train stop? Is it a function of the apocalypse that the train needs to be jumped onto and off of?
This is the Snowpiercer train. Okay. That's what happened. Okay.
But it's the train that transports them outside to go work. What?
Oh, Rob, to your point about how this movie is beating up children and little else.
And being mean to them.
Yeah.
Like, psychologically. Cruelty. Like, Jai, I didn't look up how to pronounce his name. Jai Courtney, is that it?
Sure. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. He is just so cruel and horrible. And I don't like these characters, but I don't want to watch them go through this.
Yeah. Is it a thing where they definitely had that thing where they're like, it was like everybody's equal. There's no, you know, men and women. It was just all, they were supposed to be this like tight knit, like protective force.
Right.
And then they were just like, oh no, this is Pledge Week.
And if you don't make it, you're going to be homeless for the rest of your life.
Oh, no, yeah. We didn't tell you that? Oh, we didn't tell you that when you were choosing? Oh, yeah. That's how it is. Like, you have to choose us, and then we get to choose you.
So many. Like, everything we say, every sentence opens up a spider web of brain melt.
Right. Speaking of the choosing process, how unsanitary is this?
Everybody in the whole community in all of Chicago cuts their hand with the same knife.
With the same knife. I saw not one sterile wipe or anybody coming out with a towel or like Purell or not letting Lysol, like nothing.
Okay, also.
Also, just write your name somewhere.
Yes.
That's all.
Like, can we have a log?
Yes.
Like, just a sign-up sheet. So, something like that.
So pencils and paper.
But
they're,
also,
they're not existent now.
Let's rewind. They get to choose. But,
yes.
But no, they don't? This, like, huh?
That's what blew me away.
So they all go to the doctors.
True? Sean, as the resident expert in Harry Potter houses, isn't that also the case in Harry Potter?
No. The sorting hat takes your desire into account. But you're clearly a Hufflepuff and you're like, I think Slytherin has the cool clothes, you're still getting into Hufflepuff.
So how's that work in Harry Potter?
They put on the hat and the hat says what you are. And you're
okay,
done.
But they go Destiny to Maggie Q, which is very underutilized. Why didn't Maggie Q beat the shit out of 40 people? She's
right?
awesome.
Yeah,
she's a great action star.
So I love her actress.
So is, by the way, Jai Courtney's like an A 3 black belt in 5 things.
Which one is Jai Courtney?
He's the guy with the Mike Tyson tattoo that stands on catwalks with the eyebrow piercing.
He's been in a lot of weird bad movies. I kind of like him.
But I like him too. I hated his character, but I was very intrigued by his.
He played John McClane's son.
Yeah, in A Good Day to Die Hard.
Good Day to Die Hard.
He's in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
He's in. He's the only good thing in Jack Reacher, other than the City of Pittsburgh.
Who in Suicide Squad was it?
The guy.
He was just
Captain
a soldier.
Boomerang.
Just a soldier.
With the Wolverine.
No, Captain Boomerang sounds like you're making it up, but that's his actual name. So yeah, no, you're right. There's this. The day before you go for a complicated personality test, which gives you an answer, but then you can choose whatever you want.
Right.
But then once you make that arbitrary decision, you can never change again, and you might be homeless if things don't go right.
Exactly. Okay. It's much like choosing a major, like expecting like high school kids to know what they want to do with the rest of their
lives. This is worse than picking a major.
It's definitely, they definitely had 150 more pages of describing these factions in the book.
Right.
So this is what I don't understand. Hunger Games, it makes some weird sense to put children on television and have them murder each other in a dystopian future.
Oh, sure.
It does not make any sense.
2019, 100% makes sense.
It makes no sense to reorganize a post-apocalyptic society based on Harry Potter houses.
Yeah,
right.
They're like, it's so they can control you. I'm like, it doesn't seem to work.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Okay, just so we're clear, like, folks listening, these are the factions. The Erudite are the smart ones. Amity are the farmers. Candor, they're honest and they like order. Dauntless are the police, soldiers, protectors, but damn it if they're not. And Abnegation is the simple and selfless public servants.
Right. And abnegation in this movie is the government because they're the least
But they're also
selfish.
They want to be taken over because they're getting too
I really couldn't understand.
Mouthy?
I didn't understand what the revolution was about.
Erudite wants to take over the government because they think they're better than everyone.
Because they're the smarty pants.
Right. I see.
So they create a whisper campaign against abnegation.
Right.
Which turns out it's kind of true.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like a big part of the whisper campaign is like, well, they're not really good people. Like this one guy beats his, like the president beats his son, which he does.
Dude, like when he first showed up, like at the reaping or whatever the fuck it was, like I'm like, somewhere this dude has like a sex cult or something that's waiting for him to return.
Oh,
like,
president, not Russell Crowe? Yeah, he's real good.
Yeah, I know. Isn't this whole movie generic everyone?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure Jennifer Lawrence definitely, I mean, she's generic Jennifer Lawrence.
Right. Yes.
We got generic James Franco, generic, who'd you say?
I think generic James Franco is Theo James, and I think he is gorgeous.
That's
one of the only
man.
Things I liked about this movie was looking at his face.
Do you know who I thought he was?
Who?
I thought he was Tim from Jurassic Park grown up and good looking now.
That guy is in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, he is. I had to look it up and I go, oh, that's, because then I remember
he did not grow up that good looking.
No, but because now he's like, I'm glad he's still working.
Yeah, me too.
No, because then I remember, I go, oh yeah, because I saw him in that and that was him. But
the guy who played Brian May though is a snack.
Yeah, he's a snack.
Yeah.
Yum, yum, yums. Are we going to have snacks of the week? Wait, we're not allowed to do that with women, Robin. Can we have snack of the week,
totally.
Please? Okay, cool.
Shailene Woodley
is also a dude, so whatever.
Shailene Woodley is absolutely someone who, like, you feel like you could have dated in high school, but probably would have blown your mind.
Which brings...
a little bit.
I started saying this, but I think, before we were on. I think that her casting is not good. She is not believable as an action hero.
Nope.
And this is my biggest complaint from the newest Tomb Raider. What's her name?
Alicia Vikander.
I mean, she looks like a sweet kindergarten teacher. And then she's like, she's drop kicking 300-pound Russian soldiers. I'm like, this is not, you know, there's a reason why Charlize and Scarlett and they can Jolie look good beating people's asses. Yeah.
Even Jennifer Lawrence when she
can pull it off. Yeah,
she has the frame and the carriage to look believable.
I mean, I was like watching my 14-year-old cousin run around being a superhero, and also like in 6 weeks she becomes Snake Eyes. Like I hate that stuff.
Seemed to be a lot of times where it seemed like she had a bad wig on. Like, was that just me?
Definitely.
She had that pageant puff.
Like, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Correct. In the beginning, like, her hair is like, that's not a real
time to volumize your hair while they're busy.
Sean, I'm so glad they're on the show. This is so funny. There's so many funny things we have never thought of.
She's in there, like, and then, like, when they went out, like, okay, so she chooses her new house. She pieces out on her family, doesn't say goodbye, doesn't get her shit. And as far as I can tell, she gets one outfit in the new house.
Right. They have to burn their old outfit.
Right, exactly. So they go there and they're sleeping on cots in somebody's fucking, I don't know, like, locker room laboratory.
It is an abandoned middle school.
And then they're like, let's go out. And they're all glammed up. And she's got on this like full ass face of makeup.
Oh, you mean they're rave in the quarry?
Let's go get tattoos.
And then she gets like the most generic three black birds tattoo.
She's so basic.
I liked her tattoo.
I got a tattoo when I was in Ocean City. That's what that was.
But then it's supposed to be like, oh, but it's because she's afraid of birds, so she's a badass. And I'm like, no, she got a basic boring tattoo.
Yeah, and what is this whole plot structure that's like, you got to go into brain place where you're confronted by your fears, but you have to conquer your fears in the way your Hogwarts house would do it only?
Exactly.
And that's like an hour of the movie.
So the awareness that it is fake is only possible because she has Divergent.
I only understand
that because I read the Wikipedia page.
Oh. Yeah,
but,
me too.
I mean, that's what I gathered from it, but I wasn't sure. But it's like that's stupid.
It's so dumb.
Like nobody has the cognizance to be like, no, this is. I went into this dream world.
Yeah,
I was present and awake for this dream world for them to inject me with this stuff.
Explain to me. I don't understand. So. She went into the dream world thing and she conquered her fears.
Mm-hmm. It was like she was lucid dreaming.
Because
everybody
she's Divergent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So everybody else in Dauntless fails this test.
No, they
have
to,
all just live through their nightmares.
No, they conquer their fears. The way that she conquered her fear, the fact that she was like,
she broke the matrix.
Well, the fact correct. That she was like,
right.
This isn't real.
Oh,
but everybody else is like trying everyone to find
else,
actual
everyone
problem
else
solving.
Fought the birds.
Right. Yeah,
I get exactly. it. Okay. Or whatever. Or
yes, fight it like a dauntless would.
So
instead of just thinking like these walls aren't really coming in on me, I'm going to push these screws.
By the way, there's still an hour of movie after this.
Oh
part.
Yeah. We didn't even. So yeah, wait, Diet James Franco, he defeated his he defeated his stepdad? Or wait, I just assumed, sorry guys, also, I just assumed stepdads beat kids, sorry.
Oh, no.
I was a child of abuse.
He was posed there with a fucking like, with a belt, yeah, that dude totally beat his ass. But you're saying you assumed
but
stepdad.
Here's the also.
Yeah, it was the biological.
But here's the thing too, is his worst fear, remember it escalates, his worst fear is his dad hit him with a belt. The next time he sees his dad, he's like, what's up, dad?
Yes.
That's your worst fear?
Yes, and he helps him up onto the
yeah.
I think I'm going to recall your talk about Sharky's Machine and the psychology of abuse and,
yes.
and all of that, so it applies here too.
Thank you so much, Robin.
You're right.
Then, I was not applying that psychology and logic to this film, so.
It doesn't deserve it.
And then, Sharky's like, did. 100 minutes in, now we have the thing the movie's about.
The coup?
Like,
yeah.
Also,
coups happen quickly. What is happening in real life?
You knew.
In movies, coups happen in 8 minutes.
Right.
You knew that Shailene wasn't getting out of this with parents intact, right?
Right.
Like,
oh,
that
yeah,
was
absolutely.
Really obvious.
I gotta weigh in here as the resident orphan, or okay. I assume the resident orphan. The part where her parents get gunned down in front of her, one after another, mm-hmm. and then she walks up to Diet James Franco and says, my mom and dad died today.
Yes. That's it. That's all.
Yeah. For her parents to be the leaders of the resistance,
right.
pretty much.
Yeah.
And they just run through gunfire and get clipped
right.
by
and
a bullet.
Yes. Her dad, like, literally strolled through the fight. Like, it's like.
Also, I was really angry. There was like six of them.
Yes.
And they
right.
couldn't have.
They let him go.
Taken the three of the people that killed her dad. Like. And then Ashley Judd just gets clipped in the wing by a bullet. And
it's very not dramatic, which I think was
no.
possibly meant to be like, oh, you know, like the
yeah.
banality of evil, that stuff. But it just came across as anticlimactic.
But for
yeah.
years and years, they have been secret agents pretty much.
Right.
Right.
And she was brought up dauntless.
Yes.
Like, her ass was originally dauntless.
Yeah. And so she just gets killed.
She's like yeah.
Who? Gross.
But her daughter who just trained.
And
it's
like, you
yeah,
know what I gotta
stronger.
Do? I gotta go to the people who wear gray and keep their mirrors behind a fingerprint locked
yes.
door.
You only get 2 minutes per mirror time a year.
I think the reason, well, I have written down, this failed because saying I love you breaks the mind control. That's why this movie
oh.
failed.
Oh, yeah.
But
I was hate watching
the
rest of it
door.
With my wife.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I me and her were trying to guess what line she says to him to break the mind control. And my wife is like, she goes, oh, she just says, but I love you.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Yeah.
I was
what
throwing
happens?
Out, I was throwing out some good writing. I was like, what about our kiss? What about our moment? But what about last night?
This was your good writing?
I thought it was more than just, but I love you.
I think the reason these are no good. Now, I as mentioned, I'm a big Harry Potter fan. I like the Hunger Games movies. All of those have this very easy structure in each installment. In the Hunger Games, she finds out she's going to have to go to the games. She gets ready, and then the second half is the games. In every Harry Potter book, the school year begins. We figure out what the problem is this year. They solve it. This is like, well, there's a thing, and then they go to the place, and then at the place they have to deal with this, but that's not the problem. Really, it's over here. Actually, this guy was working for that guy. And it does that for the whole series.
Right. It's exposition.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of exposition. I would also like to ask, how old is Shailene or Triss or Tiss or...
16.
Okay. Tiss. Okay, 16. So 4, I'm pretty sure, is all of 27, 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to...
Yeah, I also
I'm gonna leave that there.
Yeah, like, I also
he's being a little creepy.
That threw me off too. That I was like, oh, I thought he was the grown up, and these were
right.
like the kids. Oh,
yeah,
no,
not
boy.
Only is he the adult, he's also the supervisor. So this is like, dude, all right.
Yeah,
you know. Right. It's not okay.
No. Mm-hmm.
And also, big-time military fetish in this movie. I don't know if we need to get into it. That's so far down the list of problems. But it's very much like the cool kids want to be soldiers, and everything is about the shooting and the punching and the fighting. And it's very Rambo for junior high, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. This is clearly for 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
This is like I could see in a year or two my daughter being like, "Ooh, this is fun." And my daughter loves, you know, she's obsessed with
your daughter's better than that.
Yeah, she is. She'd be like, "Nah, it's okay."
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd be like, "Dad, this doesn't make sense."
Yeah, you're probably right.
I have several problems with the structure of this film, is what Becca would say.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But we cannot.
No, you know, she would do the thing like, "Why are they doing this? This doesn't make sense."
We can't ignore Diet James Franco's, like, you know, his most important and poignant as optimal brooding in this
yeah.
When she's looking at his tattoos and he's like, "I don't want to be just one thing. I can't." Never. And so he has like all the factions tattooed on his back.
I laughed really loud because when I was hate watching this with my wife, I was like, remember Infinity War when Star-Lord's like, I always talk deep. That's how I felt. Like, I was like, this is what Diet James Franco is doing right now. He's like, "Well, I always talk like this. What are you talking about? I'm the supervisor of the Dauntless. Of course I talk like this."
Well, we could complain about Divergent for hours. I have more notes like, fuck her dumb brother. And
point of that character.
And in a world where only EDM influenced technopop has survived.
Oh, I know. And also, I love
it. Is so distracting. Yeah. So distracting.
But I like that it also blares through when she learns a lesson.
Right.
It's like teen generic rock, even though I give her more credit because that's
Ellie Goulding.
She's very good. She has some really good songs. But it's like, as soon as she has a 16-year-old girl moment, it's like, Ellie Goulding is telling you that she's growing in her heart.
I have
you know
a confession.
What I mean?
Like, I have a confession. Exactly. There was one scene in this movie that I genuinely enjoyed, and it's one of the worst scenes, but when she zip lines through bombed-out Chicago.
I liked the jumping off the building scene.
I thought it was very cool. Fine. I liked the music. I thought she did a good job acting in front of that green screen.
Hey, next time if we ever run into her in life, we say, "Hey, you had a really enthusiastic zipline run. It was better than the one I videotaped on my cruise from Jamaica." I was like, "Oh, that was okay."
Do you want to hear about my celebrity encounter with Shailene Woodley?
Yes,
that's right.
I was on the set. It was on the set of Fault in Our Stars, and I was standing quietly in a corner waiting for someone to tell me what I was doing there, because I was there as the media, and they were like, "Come visit the set," and I'm like, "Yeah, but what does that mean exactly?" And then eventually, John Green insisted on me interviewing him because he's just the nicest. He's like, "Oh, you probably want to interview me? Let's go do an interview. Let's do it right now. I'm not doing anything." I'm like, "You're probably busy." He's like, "No, I'm not. Come on, let's go do an interview." But yeah, Shailene Woodley walked into the room. I looked at her because she's famous and pretty, and she looked back at me like, "I don't think I recognize that guy. Who's he? I don't care," and looked away. That was a moment of confused eye contact.
So it was true love.
Yeah. It was really nice. I was way more nervous when Laura Dern walked by. That was oh my God, don't say Jurassic Park out loud right now. Yeah.
I think anybody that plays a huge political figure or in the universe or like, you know, a general in space is pretty daunting.
Yeah.
Also, she's a bad bitch, too.
Yeah,
she's like her.
I would be afraid I'd get punched.
She's the mother-in-law that you're afraid of in a Rene Russo and, like, Robin Wright way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You kind of want to fuck them way.
I mean, all right. Like, but so any, like, okay, that does fall in that category.
Like,
think about it.
You're afraid you might be in trouble with them, but also you also want to be in trouble with
like,
them.
But, like, I also would fall asleep if she read the encyclopedia to me. You know what I mean? Or just yelled at me about my intellect. I'm like, "You're right, Mama. You're right."
Let's get to the segment we decided to call.
I like to be screamed at by smart women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay. We'll unpack that
later.
We decided to call this segment X-rated. Ooh. That just seemed sexy. This is just where we give a rating. Again, on a scale of 1 to 100 so that we can eventually have a nice, interesting list of numbers. We'll go alphabetical by first names. Aaron, give this movie a score from 1 to 100.
Oh, boy. An 11.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to get an 11.
Jeez.
And Mekhi Phifer earned 7 of those. This is like
I didn't hate it that much.
Right. I hate Damn. Watch this. Okay. This is wow. this is up there where now it's going to be on one or two hands of like movies I really did not like watching.
Wow.
Yeah, this was a waste of time.
Camila.
I'm going with a 30.
30.
Mostly I just wanted it to end. Like as I was watching it like all the way through. And I did see it before and I remember I watched it once before but I fell asleep and had
so
no
happy. I didn't
had
see
no
this
desire to go back and finish it. So I never finished the ending.
Right.
Robin.
I wrote down, I didn't write it down, but I wish I had because it's very close to Aaron's. 12.
Yikes.
Man.
Wow. This was also my second time watching it. I watched it on an airplane. This is from the era where I watched a lot of movies on airplanes, and I really hate that I've spent 5 hours of my life with this movie. Oh.
I hate that I spent $8 had to purchase the damn thing yeah. to watch it.
You own it.
I own it.
I did the YouTube rental.
Ugh. I couldn't even rent it. Like I tried to.
Do we have a Patreon? Can people donate
yeah.
to us?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I can't believe I
help
I,
us watch bad movies.
Tip jar.
I gave this movie like the highest score here because I know how many bad movies. Like I disliked it, but I guess I didn't hate it because I like Shailene Woodley and I like Zoe Kravitz. Most of the cast I at least liked watching. I thought it was watchable. I wasn't like punching myself in the. I gave a 38. A 38.
Wow. What did you give Sharkies?
I gave Sharkies last week. I forgot to write down all the numbers, but that's I gave Sharkies about a 60.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah, like, right. Sharkies definitely scored higher.
Yeah.
Than this.
Our final score for Divergent is 22.75. Ooh. That's not
shame
good.
On you, Divergent.
Seems about right though.
Yeah, right.
Briefly, let's transition to You Can't Handle the Truth, our segment on movies we've seen recently. Who saw something?
I saw Juliet Naked.
Which one's that?
With Rose Byrne and Ethan Hawke. He's
okay,
like
a
has-been music star that her ex-boyfriend was obsessed with, blah, 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 and she becomes friends with him. I really liked it. I was surprised at how much I liked this movie, and this is the first time that I have ever, ever developed a crush on Ethan Hawke.
Huh.
Like, out of all, I don't know what it is. Apparently, old dingy.
I've been in love with him since
1994. Old dingy, washed out, has been
yeah,
celebrity.
I think disheveled detective Ethan Hawke. That's really who he is
right.
in all of life now. He's just like, I've seen so much shit.
It's the horror yeah. that's behind his eyes
yeah.
now.
He's much better. Disheveled detective.
But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, I think it's a book was originally written by Nick Hornsby. Mm. So I always like.
Oh, I really like his book.
Yeah, exactly.
I hardly read books, but I've read three of his.
Ethan Hawke snuck onto my Best Actor ballot this year
for First Reformed,
which is not a good movie, but he was really good in it.
Absolutely.
Huh. I thought you were going to say Sinister 3.
Yeah, it was Sinister 3. I saw The Upside. It's bad. It's really, really
now,
bad.
Now, I've heard people say that is the better Green Book.
No, it's the worst Green Book.
The Upside.
Green Book looks like Do the Right Thing next to The Upside.
Oh, man. Now I want to watch both of them.
The Upside is, he's a rich white billionaire.
Oh, that one.
He's
oh, yeah.
a street smart hustler. The black guy's going to teach the white guy to smoke weed, and the white guy's going to teach the black guy
to
appreciate opera.
Teach him like how to like dap up and
dance.
Does he say words like?
Like he tries to teach him how to be
homie
cool.
and
that's
this, the, yeah, is he
yeah. There's a couple.
That
things.
Was Play dope,
right?
No, it's really bad. It's
that,
really bad.
That hurts my feelings.
Ugh.
I saw If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yeah.
Ooh. Finally came to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
To borrow a joke from my friend Chattafaw, after visiting all the major cities in the U.S. like Gary, Indiana, finally made its way to us.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, and it was one of those movies where I had to sit in my car for a long time after and just like cry and process my thoughts and
it's heartbreaking.
I'm gonna go see it tonight.
Great. It's so good. And I highly recommend seeing it in the theater because one of the best things about the movie is there are so many moments where there are collective gasps, which is one of my favorite things about seeing movies. But
I love Regina King.
She is so amazing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be very mad if she does not win that Oscar.
Oh.
She ended up getting but it'll be over by the time you hear this. So I voted for the Critics' Choice this weekend, and I had to vote for her for supporting actress. And everyone doesn't need to know the minutiae of my voting, but I was thinking of voting for Glenn Close for weeks and weeks and weeks for best actress, and then when it came down, I couldn't do it, and I paced nervously around the building for a few minutes and voted for Lady Gaga. This is a boring award season, and that decision gave me indigestion.
What was Glenn Close in this year?
It's called The Wife.
And it's also not a good movie, but has it, her performance in it is transcendent.
Her usual.
Right. Ethan Hawke is very good in First Reformed. Yeah. Glenn Close is amazing in The Wife.
But with Lady Gaga, I'm like, no one is going to remember The Wife a week after the Oscars.
Right, right.
And Star is Born.
It will be a trivia question. Yeah. Like, what did back Glenn Close into the finally
wasn't
win an Oscar
re-released
for?
In the theater? Star
yeah.
is Born?
Yeah, they put it back up. If Beale Street Could Talk, by the way, is... You need to, like, look at my top 10 lists and understand. Yeah, Suspiria is number one because I love it when an angry horror movie hates my brain. That's why Suspiria is number one. So shave that off, and Beale Street's my number two. Really, I think that's the best movie of the year. Anyway.
Go see it.
Yeah, absolutely go see it. Guys.
I got to catch up on a lot of movies.
It's time to draw.
I didn't see anything.
Next episode. Oh, have you seen nothing?
No.
Just Divergent?
My answer was, actually, I binged Escape at Dannemora.
Oh, I started to watch that.
I mean, I love true stories. I love true crime and history. And the fact that that was like 4 years ago is insane.
Right.
And I auditioned for it 6 times.
Did you?
and I don't know how I'm not a fat prison guard. But anyway.
How did the guy who beat you do?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, you don't know what you're going
for. I don't know. But no, Escape at Dannemora is really good. And Patricia Arquette is, she's good.
Yeah. Love her.
Whoa. Yeah. Like, don't even remember. Like, I remember. The only time I'm speechless because I don't remember it's her. You do not.
Oh, wow.
And you see her in the credit and you're like, oh my God. Oh yeah. Wait. Oh, that's her.
Right.
That's right. Like you're reminded every 3 episodes that, oh my God, that's Patricia Arquette. Like that's crazy. also, Benicio is a scary son of a bitch.
I love me some Benicio.
He's
Del Toro.
Like charming. He's really good
he's
in
so
this.
Good in those roles.
Cause these guys are, they charm this woman and take advantage of her. Like, in a way, and he's like it's one of the characters. He reminded me of Robert De Niro in Cape Fear.
Ooh. Oh wow.
Like real like Benicio has good facial acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like him drinking his coffee, looking around the room, I was like, I would not even make eye contact with this motherfucker.
Even
like he was scary.
In that first episode, he was talking to Paul Dano.
Yeah.
And I forget what they're talking about, but he's fake smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like he's pantomiming smoking
Benicio,
a cigarette.
Benicio, I love, he makes acting choices.
Right.
That, and nobody told him to do that.
Right.
He does little things like that, the way, like, and just, it shows little crazy things about his character.
So it's perfect.
He does that. Yeah, there's things he has tics in this movie. You're like, he chose to do that as an actor, and it makes his guy look weirder and scarier.
Right. You know what?
It works.
You know what was real bad was that Sicario sequel.
Ooh, that makes me so angry that movie exists.
2018 film.
That wasn't number one, was it?
No,
definitely not.
I didn't see
Speaking
that.
Of other number one movies, it's time to draw. Now, as a reminder, we draw this at random every week.
Oh, I really hope we get something better this time.
I want to remind everyone of the veto rules because after Divergent, someone might want to play their veto card. Every one of us.
What's the sequel called so I remember?
Insurgent.
was Insurgent and
Insurgent was number one. Allegiant was not.
Okay.
It could land on Insurgent.
Oh, boy.
Please just don't be a Tyler Perry movie.
Everyone in this room gets 2 vetoes per calendar year.
Oh, two.
Two per calendar year.
Okay. Ooh, I thought we just got one.
I know. I'm feeling
we have thousands of movies.
Now, we only are doing 24, 25 episodes per year.
Right.
So don't be too stingy if we get another Divergent. However, consider if you play your veto, the next thing that's drawn, we must watch.
Right.
Even if it's Boo Somebody of Madea else. Halloween or
so
Insurgent.
If anybody vetoes.
If anyone vetoes, the next thing that comes up is
with
veto
our powers
proof.
Combined.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. All right.
Okay.
The number is 575. 575 is the number.
I literally have butterflies in my
stomach. I know. This is like going to be my favorite part.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the crucifixion drum roll every time.
Listen, there's a very successful novelist that your mom likes. His name is James Patterson.
Oh boy.
And he made wrote a book called Kiss the Girls.
Tight.
I have not watched this in a long time.
I'm making this a 66% Ashley Judd related podcast thus far.
It's Robin's essence.
I'm actually really excited because one of my favorite movie podcasts, This Had Oscar Buzz, did an episode about Double Jeopardy. And so I watched it to watch along with them. Mm. And I watched about 40 minutes of Double Jeopardy waiting for Cary Elwes to show up. Mm-hmm. I was sure that I was watching Kiss the Girls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is, I remember this being a decent crime movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's right.
I think okay. I saw this.
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman's good.
Ashley Judd, yeah. Cary Elwes.
Fortune has shined on us today.
That's, woo, that's yeah. what, that's,
no, this yeah, is, this is the nervous. Movie in this, what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's a decent movie when we saw it.
Right.
And it's, I'm happy because it's like, oh, I haven't seen this in a long time. Right. And I remember being okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. This
I really hope it's not a disappointment. Like,
all right.
Like,
yeah, that's a good point because like, what if it we doesn't see hold this up? When we
wait,
were.
Yeah. How long is it? How long? Okay, 117.
What
that's
year?
Exactly that's how what, the way God late, intended movies to
right,
be.
Yes.
Right.
Now, wait, this was late 90s. So
97.
Camila has a good point. So if I saw this when I was like a junior in high school,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I might have been dumb. I didn't know everything about movies then.
Oh, gosh.
I was like,
oh gosh.
See what I'm
I
saying?
Was like, 21. Yes, I hear what you're
so
saying.
This could be a double-edged sword.
There's
guys.
A chance I haven't seen this.
Oh,
I think
no,
maybe,
it's probably you didn't.
Maybe I just saw Along Came a Spider.
You,
I know I saw
you did
Along
not
came
see
a
this
spider.
Because this came out when you were 15, Sean. Or
when I was 12.
Oh, you definitely didn't
no.
see this.
Yeah, maybe
no.
I did. Okay. Okay, I'm seeing something
you
new.
Didn't.
Well,
wait,
is there
a sequel to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Along Came a Spider. I know I saw that.
That's right. Wait, is this the first one?
Yes.
I think this is the first one.
Yes.
Okay. Along Came a Spider is decent too.
Yeah.
Well, more on that on our next episode.
Yeah.
On Kiss the Girls. Before we go, remember you've got to guess what the number one song in America was when Divergent topped the box office charts.
I think I have a 2014. So, right?
2014.
Okay, I have a guess.
I have
you
a guess.
Go first?
2014.
Is it Happy by Pharrell?
No.
Damn.
My
a
guess
little
is
early.
Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
Also no. Aaron, do you want to fire one off before
2014? That's Soulja Boy.
way late.
Break that Superman.
You were way late.
2008.
I know. I don't know. I just named some stupid song.
This
I'm a comedian.
This is an yell it out when you know it. This is an R&B ballad.
Drunken Love, Beyonce.
No.
Damn.
Male singer. I think this guy has an Oscar by now.
Oh, it's John Legend.
Correct. With.
Oh, his wife. That song for his engagement.
Probably.
For his wedding.
All
for his
of
wife.
Me.
All of me is correct.
Yes. Oh yeah, oh,
he's an EGOT.
He mm-hmm. wrote that for his wife's. For he
aww.
Sang it to Chrissy Teigen at their wedding.
Bless his
and then go watch the video.
No, I won't.
Because if you're in love, woo! That yes. video, he's singing to his wife. I'm like, God
he
damn, do it.
Sang it to his wife.
Like I wanted to watch that lovemaking after they shot that video.
It was the
why
spring.
Are you going? I'm still here.
I was like, I'm
the
staying.
Spring of 2014.
It was beautiful.
John
it's a beautiful
Legend
video.
Was singing to his fiance on the ooh. Airwaves.
So beautiful.
And Shailene Woodley was telling fake James Franco that it's okay that he is afraid of four. His name's Four. His name's Four
why
because he's
four?
Afraid
of I'm
four,
afraid four things.
Things.
That's basically, I was like, oh, great. He's a keeper.
Kiss the Girls next time on the number one movie in America.